Good morning, everyone, from the EuroTeleSites headquarters. I'm Moritz Palmi, and I'm in the room with Ivo Ivanovski and Lars Mostov. And today we will present the Q1 2024 results, and we are eager for your questions after we are done with the presentation. Ivo, would you like to guide us through the presentation, please?
Thank you, Moritz. Good morning, everybody, from my side. Thank you for joining our Q1 call. This is our second call that we've had since we went live in September as the spin-off from A1 Telekom Austria Group. And for those who maybe are joining us for the first time and had not had a chance to look at the website in our presentation, just a short picture of where we are, where we operate. We are in these six countries that you see in the picture: Austria, Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, North Macedonia, and Bulgaria. And we are the EuroTeleSites AG, which came as a spin-off from A1 Telekom Austria, where A1 is the anchor tenant and the largest customer of ours. So let's get into the details, Moritz. So for the highlights for the Q1, happy to share that we had successfully rolled out 49 new sites, which generates a total of net increase of 31 sites. And also very proud to share that we've successfully onboarded 53 new third-party tenants. These are tenants, MNOs, which are not A1, which are not our anchor tenant. We continue to see that the demand for data for customers across all the industries is continuing to grow. These are some reports that we've seen from the MNOs, and the interest from our customers is exponentially growing. We had been focused on the Q1 on the mandatory upgrades for our anchor tenant according to a master lease agreement. And something that is very worth mentioning is that in Austria, the regulator auctioned the frequency band of 3.6 gigahertz and 26 gigahertz, so-called the millimeter wave bands. And all the MNOs want that frequency, which for us means another opportunity for growth in locations, since the millimeter wave will be used for densifications of the 5G. But with the highlights, we would also like to mention some of the challenges. I think rollouts in some international segments is processing. Unfortunately, Serbia, as the government of Serbia has decided not to auction the 5G spectrum for 2024, most likely will be in the beginning of 2025. And on another topic, in Croatia, there are elections going on right now. There's a political rhetoric that 5G is also unhealthy for the citizens, and hopefully this will not create any problems for the rollout, since the MNOs have a very long contracts with the regulator to roll their 5G and coverage obligations. On the Serbian market, we have seen the spin-off from Telekom Serbia. They sold the greenfields only to a new competitor for us. And now we are seeing that the new competitor slowly establishing a team, but it's taking them a little while. On the next slide, please. What we can see is that results in Q1 2024 were very good. We have reached to 13,496 sites. The tenancy ratio is 1.23, which is now above 1.23 versus Q4 2023, where we had to kind of round it up to be 1.23. The revenues were 63.9, very much according to the guidance, but Lars will discuss a lot more details on the financials. The EBITDA, you see at 54.4, very much a strong EBITDA on the margins, 85.1, and the EBITDA after leases margin is 56.6, with CapEx for this quarter 12.6, and I will dive a little more into the CapEx. So next slide, please, Morris. What we would like to show on this picture is that with the 31 net adds of macro sites, which you see on the left side, I mentioned in the beginning we rolled out 49, but 18 of those are currently dismantled and they're in the process of being relocated. None of them are terminated. This is just dismantled temporary and waiting for the new location by end of 2024 to be added. And we can see the split on the rooftops and greenfields where we have the 18 greenfields and the 13 rooftops. On the right side, we see the tenant development that we have the additional 53 third-party tenants with the 31 net adds of the anchor tenant. We are getting to 84 new tenants. And as I mentioned, this brings us a little bit above 1.23 tenancy developments. Very important to mention that we only show MNO tenancy. We do not show non-MNO, which we also have a small number of customers, but most likely they will continue to grow, but we will be consistent with what we have shown in the past, and we will only show you the MNO tenancy. Next, please, Lawrence. So a little bit in the CapEx dive. So of course, construction varies from quarter to quarter. The first Q1 of 2024, we were very much focused on the mandatory upgrades for our anchor tenant. Again, these are upgrades which are already included in the master lease agreement. This has to do with the need for our anchor tenant for the 5G rollout and as well preparing the greenfields and or the rooftops for a third-party tenant. So this investment is giving us opportunity to offer more of our sites for second or third party, which they'll be ready. So for the 49 locations that we built, the 18 are the ones who are being waited now to be relocated, and we are in the process of the permitting. On the split, we see that the CapEx only the mandatory upgrades took 82%, the rollout is 14, maintenance is 5, but of course, please keep in mind that from quarter to quarter, this picture will be different, but overall, when we look at for the whole year, we will see that the CapEx is staying in accordance to the guidance of 20% of the revenue, and we will see the maintenance is in the 3% from the revenue, and the rollout and the mandatory upgrades is 45-55 split on that. Next, please. And with this, I would like to give the floor to Lars for the financials.
Thank you, Ivo. Good morning from my side. I would like to walk you through our financials. We will go step by step. So we start with the group results and then we go to the Austrian and to the international segment. Maybe you allow me some comments before we look into the details and the numbers. For those of you who have compared the presentation that we show today with the presentation that we presented just a few months ago for the Q4 2023, which was the first time that we presented actuals since we were founded through the spin-off on the 22nd of September. We need to be careful because today we presented the first time a real quarter in actuals, because the first presentation that we have presented to you last year was the last quarter of 2023, including 10 days, because we started in September. So just for those of you who compare the figures, this one is the first pure and net quarter, if you wish. And we are planning to continue, of course, now in the same structure throughout the year. So each quarter will be easier to compare with each other. And some of you have also realized that we focus on the actuals because we believe those are the numbers that we would like to share, we would like to focus on, and that also show that we prove that our business plan actually is applicable in that sense, that we fulfill our guidance. Therefore, at the other side or from the other angle, we decided not to show you pro forma figures from quarter to quarter. We have already published pro formas for the half year 2023, so last year. And once we show you the second quarter, we also will, of course, compare then the actuals of 2024 with the pro formas of 2023, but not on a quarterly basis. Having said so, Ivo has mentioned it already, we are proud that we can present a solid growth as expected. So if you look into the numbers, we exactly see what was in our guidance, and also what was in our expectations. We have generated revenues in the amount of 63.9 million in the first quarter of 2024, which leads to an EBITDA of 54.4 million and a rather high margin of 85.1%. You know that the land leases is one of the biggest cost portions on our side, and that's the reason why we also present to you the EBITDA after leases. And there we could even improve slightly on a very high and stable level. In the last presentation, we spoke about 55.7% EBITDA after leases margin, and we slightly improved it up to 56.6%. Coming to CapEx, and Ivo has mentioned it before, our guidance for this year, but also for the midterm, is that we would like to spend approximately 20% of our revenues into CapEx, because for us, CapEx, excluding maintenance CapEx, is growth CapEx. So this will generate at a later time additional revenues, and that's why it's very important for us to maintain and to develop our infrastructure, the approximately 14,000 mobile phone towers that we operate. If we look in quarter one, 2024, you can see that we almost achieved the goal, but this is according, of course, to construction. So we are at 19.7%, leading to an absolute amount of 12.6 million in CapEx spent. And on the right part, on the right lower part of the chart, you can see the so-called net cash from operations minus CapEx paid. This is what we also presented to you. We slightly changed the headline. It was called free cash flow, and we changed it in a way that we now nominated in a way that you can understand the exact calculation method. There are further details in the appendix. So for those of who are interested in looking a bit more into details, you can find also a breakdown in the Excel that you will find through our website. Overall, as said, a very robust result. I think we can be very satisfied. It's in line with what we expected from the cash point. We need to consider, of course, that the bond interest will be paid later, but that's throughout the year, we will see these payments as well. Having said so, let's briefly jump into the next slide, and let's look into the details of the breakdown of the countries. You will see that there are no structural changes if you compare it to our previous presentation. So very stable business in all of the countries. And in the Q1 2024, the revenues are mainly linked, of course, to the Austrian market, which covers 59% versus 61% in the previous quarter to the Austrian segment. And then the second biggest countries are Bulgaria and Croatia. And also there, as well as on the EBITDA after leases margin, the structure itself has not significantly changed. There was a slight higher number on the EBITDA after leases margin in the previous quarter, which was linked to the effect that we have presented to you, which was a one-time positive revenue effect on the Austrian market, which is now, of course, since what it was one time last year, it's not appearing in this structure. Let's briefly jump into the segment of Austria. We have received in the first quarter 37.9 million revenues, which leads to an EBITDA of 32.8 million and an EBITDA after leases of 22.8 million. At the same time, we can see that we're fully in line with the expectation also of the MLAs, so the master lease agreement with our anchor tenant. In addition, we, as Ivo mentioned on the group level already, on the more Austrian market, we built 16 new sites, generating in total an increase of 4 sites. Also, if you look at EBITDA, this includes, of course, the OPEX as well. And we can see that we continue to be very strict on the cost side, and therefore we can keep a high margin as well in Austria, but also on the other levels. And therefore, I think in general, we are also here in the Austrian market in line with our expectations. On the next slide, we briefly show to you the segment International, which combines all the other countries, excluding Austria. If you compare and sum up the segment of Austria and the segment of International, you will see that you will not completely get to the numbers we show you on the group slide, because of course for the group level we also have some costs, and therefore the EBITDA differs slightly, just for those of who would like to make this calculation. Looking at the International segment, we achieved revenues of 26 million, an EBITDA of 23 million, and an EBITDA after leases of 14.8 million. And if we look at the CapEx, the overall CapEx in the International segment grew up to 3.2 million. So we're progressing, we're developing, construction is ongoing, even if the overall market segment is not so easy, but we can see that I think we are in line with the process plan for the full year. So therefore, it's ongoing and the rollout is also continuing. Maybe a quick wrap up of the numbers about the leverage. We don't publish a new leverage calculated. You know that this is one of the big topics for us, to deleverage over the first 4 years. And I think we are in line. Also, the first quarter shows that the deleveraging continues as expected, step by step. You remember that we showed you a leverage of 7.3 last year. And of course, the expectation is to come to a leverage that is comparable to our peers, and that is also in a range in which we then, once it's applicable, can do a solid refinancing in 2028. So we strive to achieve 5x leverage in the midterm. Here you can see the guidance that you already know. There are no changes. So for this year, 2024, we expect around 5% in revenue growth for the full year. As mentioned, 20% of those revenues we reinvest into the CapEx. I think we are in line with the numbers on that side as well. And in the midterm, we expect a 4 to 6% CAGR growth on the revenue side. That was it. That was a first glance into some fast developing 3 months of the first year, first part of the year. Having said so, I think we can be very satisfied with a robust and a very expected and very predictable business model that we now prove also in our actions. Maybe one last hint before we jump to the Q&As on the share price. Of course, you also follow the share price closely, and we are happy that we have some research papers out, and we just would like to give you the hint that just a few days ago, Erste Bank has also published an additional research paper. So have a look, and maybe that helps also in your analysis. Thank you very much, and back to your words.
Thank you so much, Lars and Ivo. We would now come to the Q&A section. So if you haven't put your questions in so far, please do that, and we will jump over your questions step by step. So the first question which came in, I will read out loudly so that you know what we are talking about. Impact of anticipated European Central Bank interest rate reduction on debt payment profitability. ongoing success in obtaining third-party clients, intentions in respect of the low trading volume. That's it. May I hand over the question to you, Lars?
Let's briefly start with the impact of the anticipated ECB interest rate reduction. I mean, first of all, it needs to come. So that's the first remark. And the second remark is on the financing. You are aware that we have 500 million financed through a bond, which is fixed, and 500 million through a loan with six banks. And this is variable. And of course, if interest rates would come down, we would, with a small time lack of 1 quarter, we would also see then the reduction on our side.
Regarding I mean, looking at the question came yesterday, 16th of April, so I think we covered the growth and the third-party tenant. As I mentioned, we are always going after the third-party tenants. More and more telcos are seeing that we are a really independent company, and then every telco will receive the same quality of service as our anchor tenant A1. And we do see more and more interest. So we will continue this segment, and I'm sure we will show you on the next results a little better growth if this is not enough.
And talking about the share price and the low trading volume, I think this is, I mean, it has slightly changed over time. We have started with a high reference price, and then there were some movements and some consolidation, which was quite expected to mention. And in general, of course, driven by our rather small free float, it's quite clear that the trading volume is not so big, but this can change. So that's a motivation for maybe looking at our share price and also considering to buy. I think with the roadshows that we now restart, Ivo, myself, and Moritz, after publishing the first actuals last year and also for the first quarter now, we restart our presence at different investors, and therewith we also assume that maybe the trading volume might increase again.
Thank you. The next question, which we received: why was CapEx so much lower than in the first 100 days?
Thank you for the question. Of course, we have to keep in mind that construction is cyclical, and weather permitting, we can roll out or not roll out. But overall, the CapEx was in the range of 20% of the revenue. I mentioned that the majority of the CapEx went for the mandatory upgrades to prepare the existing sites, and the rest went for the rollout. But please also keep in mind that some of the invoices, even though the site has been on air from our aspect, they will come a bit later. So maybe you will see a little bit impacting that on the next quarter.
Thank you, Ivo. The next question, which we see, is: are the newly built sites in Q1 are part of the 1,000 built-to-suit sites? And the second part of the question: what is the main driver behind the growth of the EBITDA after lease margin Q and Q?
So once again, we do not have a build-to-suit commitment in our master lease agreement. We only provide the best offer to A1. If you look whether these new sites are all for A1, the answer is yes. So for the Q1 2024, all the 49 sites were on the order from A1 Telekom Austria in different countries.
If we look about the driver behind the growth of EBITDA margin, first of all, we are happy to share that it's a slight increase from 55.7% to 56.6%. So you can see that there is a movement. You can see that we, of course, work also in all the cost details to optimize and to grow faster on the revenue than on the OpEx, on the cost side in general. The link behind the EBITDA after lease margin and a slight increase was mainly actually driven by the growth in revenue. And at the same time, you are aware that we operate and we manage to maintain thousands of contracts with the landlords and the land leases. And therefore, if we slightly improve on that side to be more efficient in the land leases, you will see it also in the margin.
Thank you, Lars. There is one more question. What is the difference between 49 sites built and 31 added?
I believe I explained this, but I will repeat it once again. These are 18 sites difference that are waiting to find a replacement, a new relocation, whether it's due to the landlord who is a different construction on the rooftop, or whether it's for some better opportunity for us. We have 18 sites which are not terminated, so they're not exited sites, but they're only waiting to be relocated, which we have till end of 2024 to achieve that.
Thank you, Ivan. So I will raise once again the opportunity to ask questions, and we will give you another 30 seconds. If that's not the case, we will be finished here. And also, if there are any further questions, you can also reach me out via email or just give me a call. We are always open for any discussions and for your questions.
Maybe an additional comment to the CapEx, the first 100 days. Please keep in mind that we had an asset deal of 118 sites end of last year, which were sites left in the A1, and we were not able to receive in the spin-off due to incomplete documentation. So there's a little discrepancy. But overall, we are on the target of 20% of the revenue, quarter over quarter, year over year.
All right. Thank you, Ibu. Thank you, Lars. Since there are no further questions, I would say thank you for your attention, and let's keep in touch. We will publish the next results in the middle of July, and if there are any further questions, as I mentioned, please just reach out.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.